Hello, everybody, and welcome to Take a Knee. I'm Pastor David. Well, today we're going to talk about something that I believe is so important to our times and absolutely near and dear to my heart. And that is the ability to connect to the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been amazed over the years in how many people are really confused about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've done teachings and have taught people about the Holy Spirit for many, many years. As you know, having been a part of ministry and to teach and to not only teach from a theological point of view, but also the practical aspect of the Holy Spirit. And as an example of what I'm talking about, in talking to a person once who I believe thinks of themselves as being a Christian, a follower of Christ. And so in talking about some of the topics that I was covering in the course of the conversation, the Holy Spirit came up, and this person said, well, you know, I don't know what I feel about the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. And I remember just thinking to myself, and of course, I love the person, they were near and dear to me, but I remember just thinking, wow, that really, really shocks me. And I think I just responded, well, you know, it's right there in the Bible, you know, just to be kind and to not show myself as being one who was shocked or, you know, wanted to embarrass them in any way. But I remember walking away from that conversation just thinking, wow, there are a lot of people who are not confident in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you've got varying degrees of an embracing of what the Holy Spirit is called to be and to do. Now, without question, and for the sake of time, we're not going to do a deep dive Bible study. I'll make reference, as I often do in this podcast, you know, we don't do a lot of deep dive Bible study. You know, I'll quote verses and we just pull and string together thoughts and ideas. But people look at the Holy Spirit from different vantage points. I mean, you've got from one extreme of those who believe that the Holy Spirit is so integral to everything that they do in every step that they take. And then on the other hand, you've got those people who do not believe that the Holy Spirit is all that even active today. They're like, I believe it was the Ephesians who said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And yet they were believers. Interesting, isn't it? But were they saved? Well, there is the penultimate, right? The discussion regarding what is the Holy Spirit's role in salvation. But it's incredibly important because we can't ignore what the Bible teaches. And the Bible does say a lot. Jesus said a lot about the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches about the Holy Spirit. Peter teaches about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit, in order to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, if we're following the analogy, then we have to know that the Spirit is walking. His Spirit's got steps. He is a person. He's referred to as a person by Jesus himself. He will remind you of the things that I've said. He will comfort you. He will empower you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And again, I think a lot of the defense and maybe those who don't believe in the Holy Spirit's activity in the Christian's life today are going to come from the vantage point that those things were contextual. Those teachings were contextual. They were for only those believers during that time. And that since that time, because we have now the written word of God, we have the church, we have all the other modern things that we have that we don't really, I mean, the Holy Spirit is there, but you don't see him manifest in power the way he did in the book of Acts. So what I really want to do is just talk to you today about the necessity, the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin with there in John chapter 3, again, making reference and just talking it through. So Nicodemus, who is a Sanhedrin, he's a Pharisee, and he's on the Sanhedrin, apparently. He is a man of influence. And his heart is open, and he is clearly being affected by the teachings of Christ. And he's also a man of common sense. So he's not a man who is eaten up with greed or bitterness or religious pride. He doesn't belong to the synagogue of Satan, so to speak. He's not reacting to who Christ is. His heart is open. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, I'm using my own vernacular here. You teach in a way that nobody's ever heard teaching. No one can deny that the signs and the things that you're doing clearly are done in love, leaving in its wake hope and joy. So clearly, what you're doing is of God. But what Nicodemus didn't understand was, what is happening here? And if you are the Messiah, why don't you just tell us plainly? So what was going on in Nicodemus? Nicodemus will come to be the representation of those who have a knowledge of God, but do not understand the ways in the Spirit of God and how God moves spiritually. Now, in the next chapter, chapter 4, which I don't want to talk about much, but you have the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, who is going to be the opposite. She is going to be a person who is, of course, living in sin and feels like she's a spiritual person because they have their own mountain, they have their own spiritual experience, and yet she does not have the truth. And Jesus lovingly rebukes her to say, you're worshiping on the wrong mountain. He says, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what he tells Nicodemus is that here you are, a wise man. You're a man of scripture. And he said, you should know these things. And I don't think he was trying to shame him, but he was kind of trying to show him. He says, because what you need, Nicodemus, is to be born again. And he goes, well, how can a man go back into his mother's womb? And of course, Jesus must have been smiling. He goes, well, no, of course. You got to be born of the Spirit and of water. My guess is most people believe the water is the natural birth, right? Being birthed naturally. And then to be born again in our spirit, another experience is needed in order for us to inherit eternal life. Born of the Spirit, born again. And so we really do come to life in our spirit. And this goes on to be the doctrinal foundation for the teaching that our spirit comes to life when we accept Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit, in his most important duty and work, is to regenerate us, to bring us to life. We are born again. And Jesus will say that. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit being born of the Spirit is the one who does the recreative power of where we are raised from the dead. And now we can know God. We can hear God. We can understand his word. We are now spiritually discerned. Paul will talk about this over and over and over again. But in this conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus, he is saying, you don't have the Spirit, and so therefore you will not understand the things of the Spirit. He said, the Spirit of God flows and goes like the wind. So he's going to use that illustration, the wind, as something very, very powerful. And what does that tell you? Because Jesus doesn't go much further than that, but he leaves it kind of open there for our investigative, our pondering what he meant by that. And so when you think of the Spirit of God being like the wind, well, it's been really windy lately, right? I mean, if you're in North Carolina, you know we've had a lot of wind lately, probably in the whole Southeast. And this wind has come from all different directions. I mean, one day it's coming from the west, then it's coming from the north, then it's coming from the south. Sometimes it just swirls around. But if you're out there, you never know where it's going to come from. Even if your weather app says, well, primarily the wind is coming from the west today. But sometimes it just swirls around and it comes from the east. It comes from the opposite direction. In fact, how many times you've been outside, you look up at the sky and the clouds are all going in one direction, and yet the wind is coming from the other. So the wind, Jesus is pointing out to Nicodemus, that's the way the Spirit of God is. You're not going to be able to tell when it's coming and it's going. And this is the mystery of God. This is the mystery of the work of God. What he's really pointing out to Nicodemus, and I hope you catch this, is that you cannot intellectually figure this out, okay? Which is why so many people fail on understanding the work of the Holy Spirit, because they're trying to use their intellect. They're trying to be a Nicodemus to say, I don't understand. How can we predict? How we can create a formula? Now, you got to remember, these are the people of the book. These are people who have written volumes and the rabbinical writings to try to describe every step, every walk, every law, every jot, every tittle. So this whole idea of a spirit that cannot be described or predicted or even pre-planned in all of its ways to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is saying you never will. Because that's the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has his own will. And the Holy Spirit is going to do what the Father is doing. and he's going to carry out the purposes of God, of which we are, for the most part, blinded to. We don't know the will of God. We may know and discover the will of God for us, but we don't know what God's going to do today unless the Holy Spirit teaches us or shows us. Now we come to the idea of the Holy Spirit beyond Nicodemus. So Nicodemus is being taught that, look, you are too intellectual. You will never understand the Spirit of God because you need to be born again. And in the born again process, you will discover, now follow this, you will discover that you are a spiritual person. And there's only certain aspects about who God is that you will understand when you become a spiritually born again person, when your eternal spiritual part of you is brought to life. Nicodemus had not experienced that yet. Now, there's every indication that Nicodemus goes on to be a follower of Christ, and he's going to be, along with Joseph of Arimathea and maybe a few others, of real significance in the community who will go on to be followers of Christ, maybe even in the end having to abdicate their places in the Sanhedrin and so on and so forth. So this really then brings us to a deeper discussion on the Holy Spirit's role in our life. We know that Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he has already taught them what the role of the Holy Spirit will be in their lives, in saying that he'll be the paraclete, that he'll be the comforter. He'll come and make known to you what it is that God is doing. And then we find in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, but receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In other words, to be inundated in the Holy Spirit so that you'll receive power to be able to preach the gospel. So Peter, the fearful one, you know, the denier, now is out there preaching, taking his life in his hands in front of thousands of Grecian Jews from all over the world, right? And here they come into Christ. They get baptized. 3,000 come to Christ in one day. I mean, wow, an amazing. Could not have happened without the Holy Spirit beginning to draw, beginning to work, and them as the disciples cooperating with what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do, how to respond to the spiritual moment. So I'm really talking about this because I tell you, I think that as the church, we're going to need to know this and embrace it more. So not only does the church continue to grow and the Lord add daily to their number, those who are being saved as a result of supernatural things that were happening as a result of them having been filled with the Holy Spirit or being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the rest of the book of Acts and all the experiences of the rest of the disciples where the Holy Spirit gives them gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, signs and wonders, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles. So prophetic utterance gifts and power gifts, prophetic gifts, pretty amazing. And this all is possible because of the Holy Spirit, who is like the wind. Now, let's go back to Nicodemus here. We can only catch the wind's movement when we ourselves are a weather vane, when we ourselves are a part of the wind, and the wind is blowing through us, and we're like a leaf in the wind being blown as the wind is blowing. We have the sail to catch the wind. And again, the most important part being that the Holy Spirit indwells us. He's inside us. And now all of this mystery can be made known to us through knowledge, through wisdom, through unction, through the still small voice, through knowing something in our knower, having faith to say, you know what? I don't know why I feel this faith for you, but I really feel led. Led by who? Led by the Holy Spirit to pray for a person, to be led to go to a person's home, be led to share a particular verse of scripture, that something has come alive in you. Folks, that is the Holy Spirit inside you. And now the wind is blowing inside you. And so remember, we had talked about this last week, and I'll say it again. You know, for us to keep in step with the Spirit, we have to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bottom line is I really believe we need to embrace the Holy Spirit. We need to acknowledge him. We need to acknowledge that he is inside us and that he is ready to blow and ready to cause us to drift and flow into whatever God has for us, whether it be to resist sin and be able to walk worthy of the gospel, or to be led by the Spirit, to be able to minister and to encourage people and to tap into our own gifts and opportunities to truly be spiritual people. And folks, I tell you, this is going to be absolutely necessary for the church to exist and to thrive in the next wave of what our nation is going through. Now, how long this is going to last, I don't know. I mean, what is so incredibly exciting is that young people are being baptized all over the country in water. They're coming to Christ by the hundreds and thousands. Whole universities are seeing revivals take place within them. And so I'll tell you, that's not the stuff you're hearing about, but I see it. I see it come up on my social media and whole stadiums where they'll have an evangelist come in and young people are coming, you know, because they see what's going on in this world. They see the darkness. Their lives are being robbed from them with the lies of pandemics and the crazy stuff, the threatening of war and what's going on our border and the threat of violence and drugs with the fentanyl epidemic. That's all we hear. And so as a result, people are really crying out for an answer, and God is answering. The harvest is white, folks, and we need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us wisdom, to give us leading, to let us catch the wind and see what God is doing and then be able to flow with it. See, a person in a sailboat is a fool to go out there and say, well, yeah, you know, I don't really go with the wind. You know, I'd rather paddle. And that's like, well, okay, you know, that's fine. You can paddle. But I mean, you got that sail, and if you catch the wind, you're going to go 3 times, 4 times, 5 times faster if you catch the wind. I tell people that all the time. You know, if you catch the wind of the Spirit, you don't have to do this manually. You can use a hammer, or you can use a drill, or you can use a regular hand screwdriver, or you can use a power driver, an impact drill, you know. And that's a very real illustration. We can use the power, or we can just go through the motions. So I really want to encourage you today that this whole idea of being led by the Spirit and keeping step with the Spirit is the answer. It is the answer I think we're all really looking for in the way of getting perspective for the darkest and biggest struggles that we have, that it's the answer to help us understand Scripture when we read it. It's the answer when it comes to having faith, again, for our biggest battles, but also into being led into what God wants us to do. So we believe that there is a purpose. And in the Old Testament, we have individuals who are functioning in a New Testament concept. They hear God's voice. They operate in power. And see, that now is all given to the church. That is all what was only just experienced by a very few now belongs to every single believer for those who are hungry. As Jesus said, you know, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, why would we ask for the Holy Spirit if we don't think he's going to move? Jesus is not speaking to just them. He's speaking to every single believer who will follow generation after generation after generation. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit for those who ask? That's an open-ended invitation. And so it's yours, it's mine. So don't get hung up on it. Just realize that you've been given a gift. And if you've given your life to Christ, then the Holy Spirit came into you and brought you to life. You were born again. And then the Holy Spirit is ready to come and infuse you with power to be a witness and give you gifts to be able to function, to be able to follow and stay in step with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and speak on God's behalf by the Spirit, to lay hands on the sick, and see God do a healing in them. I don't do the healing. It's the Spirit of God who is doing that work through me, and so on and so forth. So I want to finish just with my own journey. As a young man, I remember I didn't have any teaching against the Holy Spirit. I had no negative idea. I had never been told that the Holy Spirit wasn't for today. I never had been a part of a church that had that kind of impact upon me. So when I read the Bible, I was like, okay, all right, yes, if he says I can ask for it, then I'm asking for it. And I remember my brother prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like they did in the book of Acts, right there in chapter 2. And I said, I want that. I wanted the power to be a witness, and I want the power to be able to speak on his behalf and follow the wind of the Spirit. I knew I was born again. I knew I had been given faith to believe in salvation. I knew that was true. I could feel it in my heart. I felt this joy and the peace and the life change and the waking up the next day and just going, man, my life has completely changed. But it wasn't until I really asked the Holy Spirit to start leading me that really amazing things began to happen as a young man whether it would be in high school or in college or in all the workplaces that I had in the secular world, you know, praying for people and fighting dark experiences, persecution, and all the different things that I've experienced over my life. You know, the Holy Spirit has been so critically important to that, to where I know he's here. I know he's ready, and I'm ready to stick up my sail into the wind and let him lead me into his purposes and his will. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit who leads me into that. And often it is going to cut across my Nicodemus heart, and it's going to cut across my Samaritan woman at the well heart, you know, pride in my knowledge and pride in my spiritual experience. But it's going to come down to just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead into whatever direction that he has determined, being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with him. Holy Spirit doesn't keep in step with me. I keep in step with him. And again, he's a person, and he's gentle. He's like a dove, and he's ready to coach us, to lead us, to speak to us, to make real and relevant the things of God. Well, I hope that's your experience, and I want to pray for you right now that if you're still on that journey, you continue on that journey to discover. But you know what I have found as I was sharing with you my own testimony is that sometimes just a childlike heart is really all you need. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, you know, we come to him like a little child. That's who the Father's looking. He's looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Folks, we got to have both. We got to have the Nicodemus truth in us, the knowledge of the word, and we also have to have that passionate desire to come to the mountain and worship him. That's what the Father's looking for, and I think it's important that we give it to him. Amen? So join with me as we pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for everyone who's joined me here today. I pray, let the Spirit of God come and infuse us, fill us. Everyone who's hungry for the Spirit of God, fill us. Fill us all the way up, Lord, that we would be your witness, that we would be an encouragement, that we would move in the gifts of the Spirit, and we would know it's God moving through us, going beyond our human limitations, and yet doing remarkable things in your name, because Holy Spirit, the wind is blowing, and we want to stay and step and follow the wind. And if there's anyone who's never given their lives to Christ listening to this now, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we're born again by giving our lives to Christ and asking him to be our Savior, that we would believe in the work of the cross, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we will be saved. And that can be your journey. Lord, so we thank you. Bless our time. Bless us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, folks. We'll see you next time.